Chef, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with...
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.
There we go. Yes.
Release us. Release us.
I know. Oh, that's, yeah, I remember that one. I do. Yeah, that was so scary. Independence Day. Thank you so much for tuning in to Strange Chameleon Show on
Thank you.
LA
Thank you
Talk
for listening.
Radio.
That's right, baby. Woo! Woo!
Woo! Today on the show, we have...
My name is Chris Porter.
And my name is Jenny Curtis.
And you are from?
When Last I Left.
When Last I Left.
When Last I Left.
Welcome to When Last I Left.
Welcome, yes.
Podcast.
A podcast.
Yes.
You can catch a Strange Chameleon Show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Instagram, of course, LA Talk Radio, Facebook Live right now if you guys want to get a visual.
Hi.
And you guys are from Kurtco Media.
We are from Kurtco Media.
Just launched last week.
Yes. Brand new podcasting network. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. Full of lots of things.
Yep.
And how did that get started, Kurtco Media?
Oh, my. Kurtco Media has actually been around for about 30 years. It was originally a publishing company. So they published... all sorts of media magazines. This is gonna just let me see.
No,
I gotta be honest. They published a bunch of media magazines, and I wasn't there at the time, but our last magazine was The Rob Report, and we have since moved into our brand new realm of podcasting, which is very exciting.
Very exciting.
Which is where Chris and I came in to make stuff.
So did Kurtco Media just? It's not doing any of that anymore. It's now strictly podcast.
Correct.
Right?
Kurtco Media is no longer publishing magazines, which is, you know, not to say that magazines are a dying art. But
no, it's not environmentally friendly.
And it's not environmentally friendly. And we want to do something that lives forever, like technology. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Huh?
Audio.
Audio.
Yes.
This will never go away. Not when anything crashes in the world.
But they have a bunch of different shows that focus on things like one's about medicine, one's about politics, one's about cars and automotive collectibles. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of fill
one's about the entertainment industry.
One's about the entertainment industry.
I do
Jenny
that one
is
too.
A producer.
Oh, nice. Nice. There's two.
Yeah. And basically, so we are there helping to edit and help produce some of their other shows. But as a result, they let us do
this
When Last
one.
I Left. Yeah. And so that's how that kind of came about.
Nice. Yeah.
That's a nice treat.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
and your father is...
The CEO, yes.
Yes,
yes.
The main
so
guy.
We can also say that I have a job because of my dad.
Own it.
But, yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
My father is the CEO. I am Jenny Curtis of Kurtco Media.
Yeah, yeah.
A few people probably, their heads just blew up right now. No, but that's great. You know, I always say, you know, things like that, it's a blessing to have. I mean, it's a great thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Working with family is a blessing and a curse, but mostly a blessing. And it's been, it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I look at you like he's your dad,
dude.
You are
I just
now.
Work here.
Just a very close friend.
That's really cool. So tell us, like, how did, I know you've been getting into acting. You've been an actress for a while.
Yes.
And how did you, like, what made you decide to get into podcasting?
So acting, let me roll this back. I've wanted to be an actress my entire life because I love it.
Yeah.
And, I went to CalArts, which, coincidentally, shout out to CalArts, coincidentally, so did Chris, not at the same time.
Or in the same,
or in
remotely
the same, yes.
School of, study.
Yeah. Yes, correct. I was in acting.
I was in music.
Crazy.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
Music composition degree.
awesome.
And here I am doing podcasts.
But that's kind of the thing, is you graduate from art school and you realize the whole world is your oyster. And I started doing pretty much everything I could get my hands on, which means I act less than I want to. But also I got into production and writing and all the fun stuff. So when the opportunity came to start creating in the audio realm, it was kind of a no-brainer that we should jump over there. And Chris and I actually worked together in a theater company called the Speakeasy Society.
Shout out to the Speakeasy Society.
Shout out to the Speakeasy Society.
I've heard of them.
We specialize in immersive theater, which is it's been around for a few years. It started in Europe, and then it moved, got set up pretty established in New York with Sleep No More, which is at the McKittrick Hotel. It's like now a celebrity event that people go to. But now it's been moving here into LA, and like we've been developing it here as another small society. So there's several like stalwart companies, and thankfully Speakeasy Society is among those. An immersive theater event, for anyone who doesn't know, is the audience is part of the show. And that doesn't mean we like call you up to make fun of your glasses or something like that. It's like you have to be there for the show to happen because you are a part of the story. Sometimes that means that you are you yourself are a character in the story with agency, where you get to make choices and it causes different results and different scenes to happen. And sometimes it means that you are portraying a presence in the show. Like we do one show that we just closed this summer called The Johnny Cycle, where all of the audience members were pieces of the main character's Johnny's mind. So every actor just refers to everyone as Johnny. Like, hello, Johnny. How are you, Johnny? You're all the same character.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like you're put on the spot ever and have to like recite this monologue and perform for your friends. It's very much just a guided story through a space with actors.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. So you are all very sad that you missed it.
Yes. Do follow the Speakeasy Society as well, to plug that. Because we will have some shows coming up soon on a smaller scale, very intimate. Two audience members to one actor. So check that out. It's very intense, but it's very cool.
What if there could be a podcast for that?
Okay, so did I just give up the great...
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm shouting so much.
Very excited. So that's what I was going to say. Of like, Chris and I work together in this theater company. He's an incredible writer, designer, all the things. Yeah, you know, I think you're amazing. But from the production and acting and performance side, that's where basically it all comes together, and it makes sense to do podcasting because it's such an exciting anything goes world. Mm-hmm. You can create whatever you want, which brings us to the dreams we have for creating at Kirko and everywhere and, you know, art. But having some kind of immersive, engaging the audience in an immersive podcast that could take place in LA, or it could take place just immersively on the web somewhere. Mm-hmm. It just anything can happen. So being creatives, it's an exciting realm, as I'm sure you guys understand.
What you can do with the podcast is you can have such an intimate experience, but then still broadcast it to everyone. So it's like you can go and have like this private bar conversation that's recorded with the character, and then you can be then broadcasted via the podcast. So there's lots of potentials and ideas.
And internet theater is a thing in China right now that's trending. So
what is it?
Streaming theater.
Oh.
Yeah.
Streaming theater. And one thing that VR is also trying to do is have a performer in San Francisco interact with an audience in New York. So like that you can have a live performance, but it is not
virtual reality.
Yeah, it's a virtual reality.
Okay,
but it's being,
All of the lines everywhere are blurring.
They're all blurring.
Yes.
And I view that as very exciting. Wait, what's the line from Game of Thrones? Chaos is a ladder. There you go. It's chaos right now.
Shout out to Game of Thrones.
Shout out to Game of Thrones. RIP season 8.
I heard people were very angry about the ending.
Yeah,
I actually didn't get that far.
I was not thrilled. But I. It's enough has been said, that horse is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of horses.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
No, you have a lot of something that Camelia noticed, a lot of...
horses on your Instagram.
On my Instagram, I do. I have horses. Yeah. Specifically, I have one horse. Her name is Accordia. She's beautiful.
Oh, that's a pretty name.
Yeah, she's a redhead. She's got a white spot on her forehead. It's called a star because she is a star, obviously.
Yeah.
Her nickname is... Can I swear on this podcast?
You can.
There's no swearing in this. I realized I should ask that before we go. Her nickname is Yo Yo Yo, What's Up, Homegirl, Lady G Funk, Bitch Please, Crazy Mama, Fire Breathing Dragon.
What?
For short, because she's crazy. And then my sister, yeah, my sister has a horse. So she often shows up on my Instagram as well.
I'm going to tell you right now, we are going to use that as a drop in the future. That is going to be.
I know, they're so good.
An SKS drop for all eternity now. Yep. Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
That was a long
name. That is just gold. That's hilarious.
But, homegirl for short.
Yeah. But yeah, so you definitely have a very strong relationship with your horses.
Yes.
You have two or one?
Technically, I have two. One of them is officially mine, but you know. She's family, the other one. You got to love your family.
Of course.
Even if she's more of a B word than my horse. Mm-hmm.
What is your, if you don't mind me asking, your take on what's going on right now with the whole Santa Anita park?
Oh my.
You've been hearing about that, yeah? Like all those horses dying.
Yeah, I have been anti-horse racing my whole life.
Good.
So that's kind of where I stand on it all.
Good.
It's not a good thing. Horses being abused and it's terrible.
They just opened up after doing whatever they were doing for that whole year, you know, brand new, and then horse after horse was just dying and being euthanized and for whatever reason.
And it's just sick. The funny thing is that, you know, you get in trouble if you're an athlete and you're using steroids and things like that, and they're constantly pumping these drugs into their system because they want to keep them going. But somehow that's acceptable. And, you know, but I'm sure you know, it's one of the reasons why you've been anti-horse racing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a completely different world than I was a part of. And it's one of those, racehorse's career ends at 3 or 4 years old. And then often they're so messed up, they have a terrible rest of their life because they've been mentally...
That's so sick. No. And they send them to slaughter and as a way to retire.
That happens as well. It's a lot of terrible stuff. So there are also people out there who own racehorses who are fantastic to them and treat their horses well.
Right.
That doesn't stop the fact that it's a very dangerous, same as American football. It's a dangerous sport.
Yeah.
People are getting hurt and dying for silly reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Transparency is definitely important.
Well, and I just want to say, The podcast When Last I Left, how did you guys come up with the name?
So I'll take that one. Weirdly enough, the name was the first thing that came. I co-created it with my friend Chance, and we had a day job that we worked at the beginning of the year.
Shout out to Chance.
Thank you, Chance. Well, he is still a very active member on the podcast. Uh-huh. We'll get to explaining this, but he is the one who sorts through all the submissions so it can be a surprise to them. He's the man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked with him at a desk job, and we were having some conversation about something else that was probably not important. And I used the phrase "when last I left," and I was like, hey, that'd be a good name for a podcast. Went on with the subject, didn't think anything of it. Fast forward about an hour later, and Chance turns around from his desk to face me, and he goes, what if it was about telling a story that got progressively weirder, and you had to figure out what the plot points were as you went along? And I was like, keep talking. Like, what is this thing? So then night I went home, and I wrote out, like, the actual rules and the structure for how the podcast would work. He then went back and forth, and then we did nothing with it for about 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
Something else happened, and I was just like, I need to do some project that's just for me, that I enjoy, that makes me happy. So When Last I Left came back to mind, but to do it, I knew I needed actor comedians. And so I knew Jenny did improv. So I was like, hey, Jenny, would you want to gather a couple other improv comedians and, like, try this to make it work? Because I'm not a comedian by training or anything. I'm trying to be better at it. But, like, I at least have a good sense of, like, story and also self-deprecation, which is very helpful for our podcast. She then found Kua and Mickey, and Mickey Shaloa.
By found, he means I went to my two best friends.
And so then we all got together, ordered some pizzas, and we tried the show out like 3 times, just with like a bad tape recorder, just to see if it would work. And we tried different things. Like the first go around, I would write a prompt, and then they would write a prompt, and we had to keep it a secret from each other. And then we tried it where everybody knew all the secrets. Then we tried it where only the audience knew the secrets. Like, we just tried it out until we settled on a format that we thought kind of worked, which is me coming in with a surprise social faux pas of something stupid I do. The example I use is saying, "God bless you," to a cough. And then we open an envelope that reveals to us what the midpoint of our story is. And we spend the first half of the show trying to tell a story that supposedly happened to all of us to get us to the midpoint. And it's listener submitted midpoints, so we don't know it in advance. And then once we get there, we have to open it and find out what the end point of our story is. And the second half of the show is improvising to that point, which usually ends in a revelation that I should never have been there to record the podcast in the first place. And then I have to leave in shame while they all mock me and the end of podcast.
It sounds like there's a lot of like little bit of a murder mystery element.
Yeah. Where it's, yeah. It is very much, we never know what the show is going to be. Even halfway through, we can't possibly know. It's out now, so I can say this one. But like, yeah. we did one episode that began with, I don't even remember what my social faux pas was, but by the end of the story, we had fed Elon Musk to a mermaid. And it was one of those things where, like, that was such, like, a moment where we were like, we just fed Elon Musk to a mermaid. That's such a weird thing, but, like, that's just sort of...
It was the natural progression.
It just happened in the show, and we got such a kick out of it. And now we've been like, remember that show where we fed Elon Musk to a mermaid? So it is like this sense of discovery and being like, oh, so that's what that does. And by cluing the audience into what the points of the story are, they can try to outguess us and figure out what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And the answer is we're usually idiots and they have much better ideas than we do.
And is all of this live as you're doing it and people are submitting like on the spot, or do you pre-record it?
It'll be... That's where chance comes in.
Chance comes
in.
So okay.
It's not live when we release, but we do find out for real while we're doing the improv what
the
prompt
is.
So Chance actually puts in envelopes with the whoever the submitted
submitter.
Submitter is, yeah. See, I speak for a living, so I'm great at this. But so he knows what they are, we don't.
And he'll try to find ones that have a good flow to it, so it kind of gives us a springboard.
Or he'll
throw us under the bus.
Throw something crazy in there. Yeah.
Thank you, Chance. We love you,
yes,
Chance.
Yes, we love you, Chance. And then the other two things we learned, in case it wasn't enough to just improv a random story with story points we don't know, we added the elements that the audience can submit a rule for each episode. So much like a drinking game, we have something like, you cannot mention something that is the color yellow. You cannot use the word like, whatever it is. And if we break that rule, then we have to introduce a goat into our story. And
somehow
that was my next question, you know, about the goat. Yep. Yeah,
that is, I don't know why that became the thing. Was
I love it.
You had said after we had done the initial test sessions, you said there has to be a rule with a punishment and like you have to introduce something into the story. And I picked a goat in all honesty, just because it's greatest of all time is what the initials mean. And I was like, also goats are just like weird
adorable.
And cool enough. Yeah, like in like the best weird in a cool way, just to put that out there. And so like that night was when I went home and started experimenting with the tiles to get our logo, which when everyone goes to check out When Last I Left, we have a tile where it's like a white goat head and one of his eyes is crooked, but it was just one of those things where it was
his name is Yoinky.
His name is
Yoinky.
Yes.
for reasons we can never explain.
And that, the goat that you have in your intro is, it's just like a YouTube freaking sensation thing. It's that one goat that sounds that screams. And it's just like, I've heard that before. And when I heard that, I was like, I've heard that before. And then it all came together.
Every time we break a rule, you hear the goat scream.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So we definitely have some episodes where we're huge idiots and we will end. We have some where we don't, but we have most of them, we end up screwing up a lot. And there's like 50 goats by the end of the story. We gave ourselves a break on one episode by making it so that we couldn't say the quadratic equation, which no, anyway, because we're all art school kids. So like as a result, we just wanted to prove that we could do a story without the goats. But we usually
yes,
have
the
ton
rules
of
are
goats.
Not secret from us as a group. We get to decide whether your rule is going to be the rule or not because too many surprises for us is too shocking.
And could you reveal any like some submissions that you've received, like some ideas?
What's the most outrageous?
Yeah, outrageous.
Would you say
one of my favorite one was actually in our test session, and so it wasn't it's never going to see the light of day, which is unfortunate.
Sorry, everybody.
But the
one of our lost episodes.
No, not a lot. The
pre-lost episode.
Pre-lost episode. Okay, I guess it's the last episode. But it's, oh my God, what was the wording of Pangea?
Oh, Chelsea's.
Yes.
It was like all the continents come back together to reform Pangea, and it causes the oceans to boil and volcanoes to erupt. And it
and the dolphins to cook.
All cook. Oh. And it specifically said the dolphins all cook.
That was the end of our story. No. But it was like, and it's very sad if you take a serious look at it.
We love dolphins.
But we're a comedy show. So, you know, we end up in our story at the beach and we see like what a dolphin like jump out of the water and back under and then jump out of the water and it's just a skeleton.
So oh my God.
It's like,
it was very, we were laughing very hard.
It's very stupid.
Stupid is and stupid does. That's what I say. It's good stuff. It's fun.
In the podcast that I listen to, there is like just a school of like, this is just meant to be a hangout show where it's like, hey, we're doing this stupid story game thing where it's like we're trying to make up a story on the fly. Yeah. And our rule is that it's for us to laugh so that hopefully you by proxy will laugh as well.
Of course.
So we never want it to be like serious. We want it to be like, come spend time with us.
And like be a part of the game. Like the whole part of the immersive theater aspect of the whole reason you want to be with your audience is so that you're actually creating something together and you're looking them in the eye, which is not what we're doing in podcasting, but you are creating with your audience because it's a game. Mm-hmm. It's a team. And
and the audience is absolutely critical for when last
absolutely
time.
Critical.
Please
send us your suggestions.
Thing.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, like it is, there's a different podcast I listen to that refers to itself as a dumb, dumb podcast, but it is that idea of like, there's a lot of anger and divisiveness in the world today, and like if we can provide a 30-minute oasis of just like an insane story where you're just like, what just happened, where like we've done it.
I can't speak.
Jenny broke.
That happens on
the show.
No, you can't end up broke.
But in a I can't remember what I was saying.
I was talking about how it's providing some happiness.
Yes.
Okay, that's enough of that.
It will help us somehow come together.
Yeah.
And free all the goats of anarchy.
Yes.
We just have.
Yes.
The kids love it. The kids love it.
It's wonderful. These two wonderful people just told us about Goats of Anarchy.
Yes.
It is a not-for-profit, and
yes.
When Last I Left is fully on board.
Yeah,
with
Goats
them.
Of Anarchy.
Contact them.
Hit us up.
Yes.
We love you. We want to like name goats after you.
Yes. Yoinky being one of them, right?
Yoinky being one of them.
No, it's so it is a pre-recorded podcast. Mm. Okay, wonderful. Because you know sometimes they are live. And now you have you said that your background is in music.
Uh-huh.
Any crazy stories from that you would like to share?
No one's ever asked me that before.
No.
Oh, that's a great question. A lot of my stories aren't particularly that funny about music. I'll tell one, and if he hears this, I'm so sorry, but okay.
You don't have to name names.
I wrote a piece for Wind Ensemble in undergrad that was inspired by the Keystone Cops from the silent film era, where it's like the cops running around who are causing more problems than actually solving problems, and all the crazy. It was like a comedy thing. So I wrote a whole piece about that. Sorry, Jenny's opening a water
super
bottle.
Quiet. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's all good. It's all good. You can be as loud as you want.
But I then went to a writing seminar, and we had a night where everyone was like, let's just show off things that we've done. And because I have a stronger background in music than in writing, sorry, I just banged the table with my mom.
This is not our studio.
Something just shut down.
destroyed everything. And the show begins. So I played this piece, and one of the guys who heard it thought that it was an actual film score I had written to a silent film. So he said, I have a silent film. Can you score it? And I said, yes. I have never scored a film before in my life at that point. But I just said yes confidently, and he sent me the film, and I learned real fast how to do that. And it turned out to be great practice to do it on silent films, because it's like you don't – you learn how to do all the emotion in the moment. And it wasn't like a masterpiece of a film. It was just a really decent like 10-minute film. But we ended up doing a lot more films, and that's how I learned how to do film scoring. And from there, so that's a story about me lying to someone to get a job. Doesn't make me look great, but it's a true story.
That's cool.
I think everyone's done that at some point, mm-hmm. maybe. I don't know. Even if it's like a white lie.
It's
you
just
know
like
what
a,
I mean?
I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
Probably the most interesting thing I've ever done musically was I was part of the Glow Festival many years ago that was on the Santa Monica Pier, and I got to write a piece that was performed on the Santa Monica Carousel while it was spinning. And so like there was I spent about five hours total on this carousel playing all these different people's pieces while it was spinning. So as a result of my musical background, I've gotten to ride carousel horses backwards. I've ridden it at like twice speed. I've ridden it walking around on there, which they tell you like never to do. It's just kind of a fun thing, memory that I have of like, and I was playing my accordion for it too. So it was also fun to just be like, I'm playing the accordion on the Santa Monica Carousel at like 2 a.m. This is a weird memory.
Awesome. I love it.
It's great. Also, don't ride carousel horses backwards. They are carved and shaped for you to sit in one direction. So when you sit the other direction, it is
very
not,
uncomfortable.
Not a good feeling. Not a good feeling.
And how about you, Jenny?
From my music world,
from the acting world.
I have tons of crazy stories from the acting world, I'm sure. Ones that I should say on air, however.
Yeah.
We'll get the edited, disclosed version.
Sure.
I've been very lucky to work with amazing people, and I've worked with also not amazing people. Mm-hmm. And hey, wow, I'm bad at those questions. Let's see, what kind of crazy story would you like?
Well, I mean, it could be something outrageous in a harmless way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being who your father is, do you think that, for example, with everything that's been exposed, you know, with the actresses, what they've dealt with and so forth, would you say that you still maybe felt like you were being preyed on, or maybe because
of who my father is?
Maybe they didn't really try to, you know, kind of come at you. Or did you ever feel threatened in a predatorial way?
Can you rephrase the... I'm confused with the question.
Did you ever encounter a Harvey Weinstein situation?
Not because of who my father is. My father has nothing to do with my acting career, and he is a wonderful person.
That's not what I meant at
okay,
all.
Yeah,
no.
In the industry, there have been very toxic situations. I have worked with specifically someone who I firmly think should go to jail. Luckily, nothing too traumatic happened to me, but I know it's happened mm-hmm. to other people. And I'd say in that realm, it's a really hard thing to talk out about because, you know, you're not actually allowed to say anybody's name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're allowed
to call people
out on their shit because you'll get in trouble even though they're the ones who should be under the spotlight.
No, in my question when I mentioned your father wasn't anything negative, it was just, you know, do you feel like maybe you felt like you had more respect? Like, oh, okay, you know, because a lot of the times these people prey on, you know, the actresses that come from a different state. They
right.
don't have family here. They don't, you know. So that's
I
what
mean,
I meant. Like, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's very possible because I've been lucky in that respect that no one has ever preyed on me. Maybe mm-hmm. it's because of my father and I had no idea. But I don't think so because he was not involved in the entertainment industry. I also have, I could go very dark ways, I have very low self-esteem. So maybe it's just nobody was interested. But at the end of the day,
save
I
the
think,
self-deprecation.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. We're very self-deprecating in our show. Myself. So the crazy stories that are more fun to tell are more the ones of like, you know, you're run and gun and making work that technically you're not allowed to be making because you're shooting on a property that you don't have a permit to. So, you know, you have one take to get one time the sun was going down and I had to get a take where I was It's all dark stuff. I was killing my kidnappers who, you know, raped and murdered me, because that's okay. Not, I wasn't murdered. I was still alive. Uh-huh. But that's unfortunately still stories that were being told. And so I got to fight my way out of a bad guy den or whatever. Uh-huh. But you have like one take to kick your way out of a tormenting situation. So those are always fun. Because they're really crazy and high intensity and
challenging.
Yeah, sort of like a I Spit in Your Grave type of movie.
Yeah.
Sounds intense.
Something dark and dirty like that. I've done a lot of roles of like the internal strength person who's been tortured somewhere in her life, which is really fun to play. Also, we need less of those roles and just, you know, women who haven't been tormented. But I really like playing crazy stuff, and I think I'm more crazy in my work than I am in my real life, because it's safe there. It's a safe place to play, mm-hmm. and so I can let out all of my inner demons into my work instead of in real life, because in my real life, I'm pretty boring.
No, I don't believe that. I do not believe that at all. Explain a little bit, or tell us about working for $7 Digital Productions with did you, because that's what I saw on your IMDb.
$7 Digital, a very short amount of time. That's so funny. I worked for them for probably a summer, and so $7 Digital Studios is The Rock's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I got to work on a pilot that he produced called Bro Science Life, which was a collaboration with, I think, Bro Science Life. I should know this better. I was I coordinated for that, and then we also did a couple small things. I met The Rock once. He was unbelievably nice. You know,
That's awesome.
He had 45 minutes with six different teams of his in the same space. Like, we need this interview, and we need you on camera saying this. And he was like, all right, you have 45 minutes because I'm a very busy person, so everybody's trying to get what they need from him. But he still walked into the room and stopped and like turned to me and said, you're someone I don't recognize. Who are you? What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Shook my hand, said thank you for court, like whatever I was doing that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a very nice person.
That's what I get too. Like, yeah, he's just genuinely just nice to everybody.
Very, very nice. And at that time I was working for Scott Brown and Mo Darwich, who then have created a company called Liquid Light. So if you're just going down my resume, that's the next one. Which it's probably not on there, but
no.
It wasn't on IMDb, I don't think. But Liquid Light, I don't know why I brought that up. Oh, because it was those guys. They're great guys.
Yeah.
Shout out to Liquid Light. Shout out to everybody I've ever worked with.
Shout out to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And you, just had some great titles. I mean, you were a director, writer, and casted on that Eyes Wide Shallot. Is that correct? Or no?
Was it a spin-off of Eyes Wide Shallot?
All right, here we go.
No,
this is great. So that is Hollywood spelled Wood, spelled W-O-U-L-D. And it's an animated series, actually, that I wrote and was directing for Gas Money Pictures. And because it's about two screenwriters, and they are peanuts, because screenwriters work for peanuts, it was all very punny. And so I made every single one of my episodes I wrote. I think there's only two on IMDb, but we ended up having a 10-episode season. I made every episode a pun on some kind of movie. So we had Eyes Wide Shallot. We had, so now I'm going to blank on all of them because my memory is just a tiny, tiny little pea. My favorite was the Sunset Boulevard one. What did I call it? Anyway, I did a whole episode about Sunset Boulevard.
I love that movie, Sunset Boulevard.
And writing it from the perspective of peanuts it was a very raunchy comedy. It was very South Park style. It was so much fun. I don't think you can see it anywhere right now, but, you know. Shout out to Gas Money Pictures. If it ever comes out, let us know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks for coming in. No, that's really cool. And she being an actress, Strange here, and I know that, you know, she can relate, and you guys can relate to that. That's really cool that, you know, you guys are doing the acting thing. I recently kind of did, I do background every once in a while, and I was on Stumptown. If you saw that show, it's on episode 3 on this first season, and I'm the guy that's thrown off a balcony. I'm the trash.
Hey,
but thrown off the trash. Can you see it in the background?
Huh?
You can actually see you?
No, yeah, the right front. The camera's right on his face. It was just funny.
I got a lot of camera time on that. That was pretty cool.
We're going to go into the screen grab and push out to the last I left Instagram.
It's really cool.
It's really funny. Yeah. What would you say is the best piece of advice that you guys have gotten?
The thing that has inspired me the most was a piece of bad advice that I got. Because I really love writing and I really love composing. And I went to a writing seminar, and one of the professionals there, he was a writer, his wife was a composer, or other way around. She was a writer, he was a composer. And I just went up and I was like, hey, I really admire both of you and what you do. I'm a writer and composer as well. And they very sincerely, very earnestly, they weren't trying to be mean or down talk me. They said, pick one. Mm-hmm. Don't do both. You can't do both. And I just remember, like, I took that with me and I carried it for like a week, and I was like, no, who are you? Like, no, I'm going to do both. And it might take me 3 times as long, but I want to do both.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I'm wildly successful as a writer, but I've produced some of the work that I am like the most significantly happy with in my life, working as both a writer and a composer.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so much this piece. I know that's like anti-inspirational in a way. Sorry, everyone. But that's the piece of advice that I've always remembered. And I've always been like, no.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's also the strong, it's a very strong, to call it advice, maybe no, but it's strong encouragement to hear what you know you don't want and to actively go after the opposite, which I think is encouraging because, mm-hmm. you know, being in LA and being actors and mm-hmm. creators, you hear it all day long of like, you cannot do this or you know, mm-hmm. give up now, which to tell yourself, no, I'm going to continue pursuing what I want to pursue, I think is... I don't know. It is. I get a lot of good advice from Chris, you know, when I'm having meltdowns in the office, and he says, just
mostly
don't.
It's going to be okay.
Just hold on.
We're not brain surgeons. It's okay. No one's life is on the line.
But what would you say was the best piece of advice that you've gotten?
These questions are hard because I'm bad at picking like just one. I'm bad at picking. Like, there's so much good advice out there. Mm-hmm. And I think... as
anything that stands out to you?
I mean, the first thing that jumps to my mind is following Chris's lead, bad advice or bad whatever. We're bad at this. I met with an agent once, and you know, you're an actress in LA, you're meeting with an agent, it's very exciting, and you want to do whatever you can to give off a good impression. And I went in and he had me read something and I did it well, and he was impressed to a degree. He said, I was good at acting, but here are all my flaws when it comes to everything else, and here's why I'm not sellable, and here's like just he was on a crazy ego trip.
Wow.
And then he told me at the end, there is no room for art in LA. There's no art in LA. LA is just business. So all of that doesn't matter.
What is that guy's life like?
And it was like, it was one of
the
worst meetings I've ever had in my life, but also one of the best because I left it being like, wow, I know how wrong he is. And I know that's not what I want. And I'm okay with the fact that some dickwad just told me all of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Would have, you know, in another month, it probably would have shattered me. But at that moment, it was exactly what I needed to hear in order to go pursue what I needed to pursue.
So it kind of just pushed you in the right direction.
Right.
Okay.
And there is a lot of good advice out there, and it sucks that we're not saying it.
I know, we're not saying
what
it. yep.
that's exactly what, I mean, everybody who's ever said, like, go after your dreams and don't give up and all of that stuff of, like, take care of yourself and know... My mom gives me a lot of good advice. Self-care is very important, and I think a lot of us work way too hard, which mm-hmm. is a gift and a curse because I really love hard work, and I know mm-hmm. overtime makes me happy when we're creating something we want to create.
Yeah.
But we're lucky to live in a culture that is suddenly shining a light on self-care, which I don't think other generations have had the gift of. Mm-hmm. And so having people remind me, having my friends remind me, having my parents, my mother remind me, I love you, Dad. He wants me to work real hard. But having my friends and family remind me, you need to take a moment for yourself. You need to take a walk or go to yoga or whatever you need to do to like make sure you're mentally sound before you continue working very hard has been very beneficial.
I think that's why it's important to ask these questions, you know, so it can just inspire others that are, you know, starting something very similar, or creators just like all of us.
Yeah.
So definitely a positive thing. Good advice is always great.
Yeah. So let's just turn the tables a little bit, and we'll do a I don't know, a little ventilator.
I don't know what is happening, and I love this.
Woo! Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
So the way that this works is vent about what you want to vent about. So if things are happening in the world and you know, you're upset and you get a moment to kind of just say, you know, this is kind of like what bothers me. And you can just kind of a quick vent. It doesn't have to be super long, but yeah, just kind of like whatever is
whatever
troubling.
Whatever it is. It could be
whatever.
Anything.
Yeah. It could be anything.
Please go first.
I'm not
ready.
You go, Chris.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We vent all things. We call it releasing the valve.
Releasing the valve.
You got this. You got this.
No. The traffic in LA sucks.
Yes.
Talk about that. Our main studio is in Malibu, and I live in Eagle Rock, and that's a long commute. And that means I'm probably going to have to move to be closer to the studio, and moving is my least favorite thing of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm not looking forward to doing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my lightweight complaining. There's a lot of bad things in this world
that
I can also complain about.
We could get really dark real fast.
We could get real dark real fast. There's a lot of stuff that annoys me. When you mentioned the Me Too movement, I've been incredibly fortunate in my life to actually work with a majority of female directors. So whenever I hear about that kind of shit happening, I actually get really upset about it because I care about my friends. So I don't want...
No, yeah. And it's a real
so
thing.
So that type
you
of
know.
Stuff. That's that's my mini vent. I guess that wasn't a great vent.
No. There's no wrong way of...
That type of stuff is incredibly infuriating. Yes. It is very... Yeah. It is. I could vent about it.
I've seen you have to put up with some of that. Not like awful stuff, but just some prejudices, and that makes me
Thank
angry.
Thank you for being angry about prejudices.
Yeah.
I'm angry about that too. That stuff sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me very angry when... I don't want to get angry, though. That's
No.
Here's the thing about venting is I can work myself up into a froth.
Oh, okay.
Froth.
It's really not
well,
a good
we
thing.
Weren't prepared for that.
But I will vent about the fact that... I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I love everybody and everything. And also, the other day, I had a really disappointing coffee. And that was sad.
Was sad because you were tired and you were looking forward for that coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hoping it would pick you up and instead.
Actually, that really is the worst thing. Is like you
it
go,
pulled
and
you
only
down.
You want to have one coffee. I'm trying to have like only one coffee a day and my coffee is still a venti from Starbucks. So I'm still drinking way too much coffee. But I'm trying to cut down because I'm a very anxious person. And if my one coffee is bad, it's very sad. It's a very sad day.
It kind of throws you off. And, yeah.
True.
Do you ask this question a lot?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for each guest, we just
do you get like you get really good juicy vent sessions.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
really bad at this.
No,
you guys are doing
fine.
Mostly because it's like what you don't want to vent into trouble. I did. Speaking of the traffic, I'm gonna shout out to Facebook. So my friend on Facebook, who I won't name because I don't know if it's anyway, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was in traffic and somebody cut him off, and so he honked at them, and then that person slowed down. and pulled up to his left side window, and the passenger pulled a gun on him.
Oh my gosh.
And like nothing happened. He said it was probably just intimidation tactics, but still, like, it really stresses me out that we live in a society where people want to harm other people, mm-hmm. or ruin somebody else's day.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the thing that I thought of that is tagging on to this, but it's of a much lesser level. So like what you said was like super serious. Mine's like, I was talking with a friend yesterday. Is anyone here a fan of Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
The TV show?
Absolutely.
It's 100%. S-C-H-I-T-T colon S. So
shout out to Schitt's Creek.
Shout out to Schitt's Creek. It's a charming, charming show.
Is this cute that we keep doing this? This is really annoying.
No, it's right. Yeah.
That's our theme. Shout out.
I haven't heard of that, but.
It's on Netflix right okay. now.
It is well worth your time.
It's produced by Dan Levy, who is Eugene Levy's
and
son.
Eugene. I think they produce it together.
Yeah, yeah. But like it's written okay. and created by his son. But Eugene Levy's on it, so is Catherine O'Hara. In their most recent season finale, they've had all of their characters grow to this point where they put on this show and all of the characters are just happy for each other. And there was something about watching that where I was like, wow, that does not happen in life, like, so rarely that it's like, here's this group of people who are just happy for each mm-hmm. other. And they're not, like, trying to do these things or trying to tell them how to live their lives. It's like, so, like, there's so many people out there who just want to be angry at everyone. And I'm like,
just
take
out.
A chill
just,
pill.
Just take just a chill. Just be happy.
It's okay. And you know what helps
that
with that?
Happy. Yeah.
Music.
We love music.
We love music.
Which brings us to...
I think the dancing is the best part of the show.
My KKK. So
what?
I gotta bring out
Chameleon Kazoo Karaoke, you
great.
Guys.
Great.
Come on.
Chameleon Kazoo Karaoke. Come on.
God.
Spectacular.
So in this game, I have a kazoo.
Okay.
I will play some songs. And you have to guess what they are.
All right.
Oh,
pretty
damn.
Simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I'm gonna do terrible at this. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, we don't have time for like a couple, but
okay.
I'll do my best.
Sorry, we
here.
Talked a lot.
Aww.
No, you're fine. Here we go.
Do it again.
One more time.
Is that Lumineers?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, that's Hey Ho. Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's very good.
Let's do one more. Okay. Here we go.
Thought, but I'm gonna let Chris guess.
No, because I'm gonna mess
is it up. Daylight?
No.
Damn.
Oh, that would have been.
Oh.
I'm sorry. We had to a couple things.
Oh, I.
That's the wrong answer.
Yep.
No, I have
that's
this one.
Right. Oh, okay. You got that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Give me a bow.
It was difficult.
Yeah, it didn't sound like that to
okay.
me.
Okay. I may butcher these a little bit.
So cool.
And so, okay. Let's do. Got time for one more?
Just do one.
No.
Just do one.
Okay.
I'm so nervous.
What? No, that's cheating.
Is that Fly Me to the Moon?
That's right.
Better at this than I am.
Good.
So when I was a kid, we would play Name That Tune in like every single car ride, even if we were going to the market like 5 minutes away. It was named that tune time. Yeah.
By the way, I love that thing. And I did a production of The Tempest, and I wanted really bad for that to be the Thunder and Lightning. But then,
oh, yeah.
So you get the whole cast up there with those.
Well, where can, you know...
how can people follow you?
Yeah,
guys,
exactly. Thank you.
Show. Oh, okay. When Last I Left, at pretty much everything. So okay. Instagram, When Last I Left. Facebook, When Last I Left. Twitter, When Last I Left. You can check us out on kurtco.com/When Last I Left. You can email us at whenlastileft@kurtco.com. You can also follow us at the Jenny Curtis and Coaster 02.
That's me.
Yeah.
Nice. My Twitter handle, though, is at Magnificent Beast with a bunch of the vowels removed. So just figure that out. Because Chris Porter is a very common name. Also, follow us at the Speakeasy Society. If you go to thespeakeasysociety.com, you can join our emailing list so that you can be notified when a show is about to happen.
You can follow us just everywhere. You can follow us everywhere. Home.
You can follow us home.
You can follow us home.
Please.
We will. I believe we will.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
And remember, put your turn signals on. Amen. Jam home.
Have a strange night. Have strange dreams.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.